is, Father, we just want to lift you up this morning. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence in this place. And God, the words of the song says, this is what you do. This is what you do. You make me come alive. And Lord, we just confess this morning that our life is in you, God. You are our life. And we just thank you, Holy Spirit, that for just moving over this place. Thank you for filling hearts. Thank you for filling minds. Thank you for filling people, God. And we just want to say this morning, we so desperately need you, God. We need more of you, God. We need more of you. And God, help us to empty ourselves. Help us to empty ourselves so that there can be more room for you, God. Fill us, God. Fill us by your Spirit. Before we pray it, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's children say, amen. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you very much to the team. We really appreciate you bringing us into God's presence. Hallelujah! God is alive. God is good. The devil is bad. I'm talking to you this morning. The word that God laid on my heart is when God starts moving. When I started to prepare, God said to me, no, you must first go and listen to Theo's message from last Sunday. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned through the years, it's good to obey. Tell your friend next to you, it's good to obey. So I listened to Theo's message, and, you know, it's so good to hear, you know, Theo, his heart for God, you know, to hear, you know, the humbleness when he spoke. And you know, I could just sense, you know, he's so thirsty. He's so hungry for God. He's so thirsty. He's so hungry that God will come and do a thing in this church. Anybody that feels the same? Amen. Amen. And, so I didn't steal his title, you know, I just put a start in there, so it can't be, you know, a little bit original, but there's nothing original in the kingdom. I'm married to my wife for, it's going for 27 years, this coming Friday. Wow. And it just gets better, and, you know, if you want it to get better all the time, you know, you must just make a better decision or a better choice than she. Then you're in for a good marriage. So, yeah. And, we just love Pastor Fred and Lucille. We love the Shofar family. We love the vision that says, you know, we want to reach nations and generations by making disciples, you know, by leadership development, by planting churches, you know. This is what God has put us together, to reach nations, to reach generations. You know, the whole thing about making disciples, developing leaders, planting churches, you know, and the values, you know, a passion for Jesus. That's our values as a church, as a family. People to serve, because the kingdom is about people. Hello? It's about, you know, Jesus came. He didn't die for computers on the church, on the cross. On the church. He died for the church. But he didn't die for computers, you know. He didn't die so that you and I can, you know, answer all our emails every day. He died for people. Jesus is passionate about people. The word says, for the joy that was held in front of him. That was you and me. When he suffered on the cross, you know, there was joy. And that joy was you and me. accepting Him, like Carmen said this morning, you know, that day when God rocked your boat and when you said, yes, God, I want to go with you. So it's passion for Jesus. It's people to serve. It's a power of belief, and it's a purpose to pursue. And that makes us a family. If you want to know if you're a true shofarite, you know, that things will be in your heart. God, what's my part in this? Where do I need to be part of this family? Where do you want to use me in this family? Because God uses people. Amen? He loves to use people. Okay. And then I love to preach to people who are hungry for God. I think you didn't hear me. I love to preach to people who are hungry for God. And I love it when people respond, you know. You wanted to have a good morning today? Then please respond, you know. Show me your eyes, you know. You can say yes. You may even say amen. I love it, you know, because when we respond to God's word, you know, the corporate anointing just lifts. Amen. Okay. So when we engage with the word, it's there, just something happens. So the word that God lays on my heart, when God starts to move, for God to start moving and for God to do anything in the face of the earth, He needs a human being. He needs a man, or He needs a woman. God doesn't work if He haven't find His man or His woman. God uses men and women. God uses people like you and me. Anything that God does on the earth involves a man or a woman. If God wants to save somebody, you know what? He doesn't send angels from heaven. He uses people. He will use a mother that prays for you. He will use, you know, your neighbor's, like, you know, your friend's mother to pray for you. He will use a grandmother to pray for you. But when God moves, He uses people to be part of what He is doing. When God wanted to create a covenant people, He called and raised Abraham. You remember Genesis 11, Genesis 12. He needed a man. He needed someone with the name of Abraham. And when God spoke to Abraham, Abraham obeyed. He followed God's directions. He didn't know where he was going, but the one thing that he knew is that God was with him and he was obeying God. When God wanted to save His people from the oppression of slavery in Egypt, He raised up Moses. He used Moses. So when God moves, He used people. When God wanted His people to enter into the promised land, Joshua stepped up to the plate. So everywhere in the Bible, when God starts to move, when God wants to do something, God will pinpoint a man. God will pinpoint a woman. God will start to work. God uses people. And He doesn't use perfect people. He uses imperfect people. When the priesthood was cut off from heaven, you know what? In the time of Eli, when the word of God says, the word of God was scarce in those days. 1 Samuel, I think it's chapter 3. He says, the word of God became scarce. Why was the word of God scarce? Because the priesthood was wicked. Eli and his sons were wicked. And because of wickedness, heaven become like brazen doors. God didn't spoke anymore. And then God raised up a young boy with the name of Samuel, and He put him in that wicked place, and Samuel changed it around. God uses people. When Goliath threatened to humiliate God's people, God already had prepared a David. God loves to prepare us. He loves to get us ready for what He wants to do. When David was caring for his father's sheep. And you know what? That's good training ground. before Jesus was, before he was released into ministry, he was serving his father in the carpenter's shop. You know, and if you want God to use you, start to serve in the house where God has put you. Because when you start to serve in the house where God has put you, something will happen. You know, one day, David's dad said to him, you know what, your brothers, you know, they're making war there in Afghanistan, and I just want you to take, you know, this food for them, you know. I want you to take some, you know, what do you call it? You know, yeah, some chippies and, you know, cokes and all that kind of stuff. And when he got there, God started to move. And David prepared himself, but that's a sermon for another day. To prepare God's people for the coming of the Messiah, he raised up John the Baptist. You know what? Jesus was coming. The Messiah was coming. And God needed someone to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. Whom of you know that not everyone was quite excited when the Messiah arrived to the scene? Not everyone wanted him. But there was people that were hungry and thirsty for God. And while John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness, and he was kind of a freak. You know, his clothes was not Carducci style. And, you know, his diet, you know, was a little bit different. But the people realized, the people sensed a frequency coming from the wilderness. And the people that were hungry and thirsty for God went to the wilderness to hear what John was preaching. And they went there, and all of them that went there that were hungry and thirsty got baptized. Because John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And repentance means to change. Change from living for yourself to God, here I am. You can use me, God. I'm willing to do your will. I'm willing to follow you. And to take the gospel to the nations of the world, used Paul, who previously was a persecutor of the church. So guys, right through the Bible, when God wants to do something, he needs a person. He needs a human being like you and me. Okay, maybe just shake the guy next to you. Says, that's you. He's speaking about you. God uses people. And you know what? God uses imperfect people. One of my friends put on Facebook the next slide, and he says here, Jacob was a cheater. That's his name actually. Peter had a temper. David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossiper. Martha was a warrior. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was moody, and he tried to do it all on his own. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was short. Abram was old. And Lazarus was dead. That's the kind of people that God uses. You know, and so many times we think we must first become perfect and then God can do something with us. And it's quite the opposite. When God wants to use you, like that slide says, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. You know what? When God wants to use you, he will put everything on the line to work in you and to work through you. And it's usually for the person, you know, to change. Because I don't know about you, but I've made some some discoveries in life is that God don't do it the way I think it's going to happen. Ever received a prophecy? Ever read something in the Word of God and it just jumped out to you? The Holy Spirit just makes it alive. And you think, oh, this is what's going to happen. And quite the opposite happens. Because God always do it His way. He doesn't do it our way. And you and I need to learn that, God, please do it your way. You know, Moses, when he was in the palace, he knew that God wanted him to get the people, you know, out of slavery. And what did he do? One day he saw, you know, this oppression taking place, and he killed one of the Egyptians. He thought that was the way God was going to do it. Like Peter in Gethsemane, you know, when the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, you know, he was ready to defend Jesus, you know, took out his sword, you know, snaya usa uraf. But God is doing it His way. And in our preparation, we must find out how is God doing things so that God can use us. When God uses people, the first thing that He does, He calls them. And the second thing that He does, He starts preparing them. And guys, I'm not here to give you bad news this morning, but that preparation thing, it usually spans a lifetime. You know what? Moses was for 40 years in the palace. He grew up in the palace for 40 years. And then he tried to kill this Egyptian. And then he had to flee. And you know what? He fled. And he was for another 40 years in the wilderness. Till one day that, you know, that this bush just started to burn and burn and burn and burn and burn. And it caught his attention. So God, when He calls you, He prepares you. And not only does He prepare you, He empowers you so that He can be glorified in everything, using an imperfect person. Because God uses people. You know, we must be so grateful that we are not spirit beings. Sometimes we think, you know, I wish I could be an angel. But you know what? Angels, they don't have any chances to sin. One sin and you're out. You sin once and you're out. So we're human beings, and there's grace on human beings. So God, thank you that we are humans. And thank you, God, that you are a graceful God towards humans. So guys, so God calls us, He prepares us. Maybe let me just give you just three statements. If you can write it down, it will help you a lot. The first thing that we must know. Maybe I must just ask this. Anyone here that wants to be used by God? Anyone? Thank you very much. Okay. If you want to be used by God, there's three things that you must know. The first thing, that God is a God of love. I think we all know it. But what does it practically mean to me and you? God is a God of love. That means His will for me is always the best. He's a God of love. So His will, when He shares His will with me, when He speaks His will with me, when He reveals His will for me, it's the best for me. That man, God said you must marry, and you don't want to marry? Okay, let's just stop there. And then God is omniscient. Is that the right pronunciation? He's alwetend. Omniscient. Is that the word? Okay. He's alwetend. He's omniscient. And that means His guidance is always right. Because He knows everything. God knows the end from the beginning. You know what? When Joseph was sold as a slave, God knew where the story was going to. God knew this story would end in the palace of the Pharaoh. So God is omniscient. His guidance is always right. Sometimes we question Him. We say, God, this can't be. But guys, if you want to run with God, if you want to move with God, if you want God to use you, you say, God, thank you that you know the best. I don't know the best. You know the best. And then the third thing, God is almighty. And what does that mean to you and me is that God empowers you and me to do His will. Like the one day when the angel Gabriel, when Gabriel came to this, this young lady, I think she was about 16 years old. Anyone 16 years around here? Anyone wishing you were still 16? I think she was about 16, Mary. And the angel spoke to her. And you know the history, you know the story. But you know what? The angel spoke to her and he said, okay, you're gonna carry the Messiah. And she says, it can't be. I wasn't with a man. He says, but the Holy Spirit will come over you. And you know what? And he will put the seed of the Messiah into you. And what did she say? She said, yes, here I am. Let it be with me according to your word. Isn't that obedience? Isn't that obedience? Because, you know, she had to think, you know, what's my mom and my dad going to say about this? You know what? What's the priest? What is Theo gonna say about this? You know what? What are the family going to say about this? But you know what? She got her yes ready for God. And if you want God to use you, it is so important that our yes is already prepared. Don't wait for God to knock on the door and you are not prepared. I heard someone said this week, preparation meets opportunity. Preparation meets opportunity. Give your yes in advance. Don't wait till the angel appears to you. Don't wait till God starts to speak to you. Then it's too late. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. God uses those who give their yes in advance. You know what? When you read the Gospels, it's so interesting. Maybe I can say, in inverted commas, it's so funny. Because, you know, the disciples, you know, they didn't catch quite what was going on here. And one of the reasons they didn't quite catch what was going on was they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. But anyway, they were with Jesus, and you know what? When they were with Jesus, they had these arguments. Who of us is the most important one? And then Jesus, you know, he just let them have that argument, you know. And then the one would say, yeah, but you know, we were with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the others would say, no, but I was with him, you know, when he raised Jairus' daughter, you know, and they, all these arguments. And he just left them, you know, so that they could argue, you know, because they didn't caught the message. Because Jesus said, I don't come to be served, but I came to serve. So they didn't quite get it, you know. And anyway, when Jesus, you know, when the trial came and when the crucifixion came, they lost it completely. You know what, Peter, you know, he said, God, you know what, Jesus, I won't allow it. I will follow you. Through death, I will follow you. Was it by the Spirit that he said it? Or was it in his own strength that he said it? You know what, and Jesus said, okay, Peter, when the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. No, Lord. It won't happen. So we can't serve God in our own strength. We just can't do it. So they all ran away. All of them. Luke, the physician, you know what, when you read his gospel, he said, you know, one of the disciples, you know, he lost his clothes while he was fleeing. That was him. So they all, you know, They all ran away. Luke, he ran away naked. And then they were down and out. Because what they thought needs to happen here, what they thought that Jesus would become the new king of the nation of Israel, and he would drive out the Romans, you know, and he would restore the glory of the kingdom as it was under David. It didn't happen. So they were down and out. They were devastated. They were depressed. You know, they didn't know what happened here. And you know, it's always a good place for God when you are there. Because when you're there, He can speak to you. When you're there, you are willing to listen to Him. You know what? So many times we are so filled with our own ideas. We are so filled with what we want to do. We are so filled of what we think must happen that there's no place for God. And if there's no place for God, guess who's running the church? Are you still with me? I said, yeah, when you are empty of your own ideas, of your own plans, that's a place where God can fill you with His Spirit. Pastor Theo showed the video clip of what happened when Angus Buckham was preaching and the wind started to blowing. You know, God wants to fill the church with His Spirit. Maybe I must put it stronger. God desperately wants to fill the church with His Spirit. But the problem, guys, we are so filled with our own ideas. We are so filled with our own plans. We are so full of ourselves that there is no place for Him. Because God can only fill something that is empty. For a glass to be filled with water, it needs to be empty. If this glass was full of water, you know what? Anything that I would try to pour into this would be a waste. So that's what happened. You know what? The disciples, they were down and out. Maybe things in your life don't work out. Maybe the things with your son doesn't work out. Maybe the things with your daughter doesn't work out. It seems like the things with your wife doesn't work out. It's a good place to meet God. Because maybe you've tried everything and now God can do something for you. Say, God, I don't know what next. God fills that which are empty. Guys, we can only be filled with the Holy Spirit when we are empty. When we come to God and we tell God, God, I desperately, desperately, desperately need You. When we come as a church and we say, God, we desperately, desperately, desperately need You. You know what? Jesus, you know what? He spoke to His disciples in Acts chapter 1. He spoke to them. He said, guys, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, you will receive power when the Spirit came. The next moment, He was gone. He was away. Their dreams, their hopes, you know, everything scattered. And so they went to the upper room. And He said, you must wait in Jerusalem. He didn't say pray. Am I right? He said wait. And I think while they were talking to one another, you know, what their expectations was, what their hopes was, they realized God's plan was totally different. God wanted to do something quite different what they thought He wanted to do. And then, you know, I think what happened in that upper room is, I think they start to confess their selfishness and their pride, you know, and all those ugly things towards one another. I think Peter went out first. Said, guys, please forgive me. Please forgive me for being so impulsive and being so full of myself, thinking that I got all the answers. I just want you to forgive me. And I think they started a repentance in that upper room. You know, people just coming humble before God. Because the promise in the Word is, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. You know what? We think that prayer can fix everything. We think that prayer can give us revival. No, 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 no. Prayer won't give us revival. God will give us revival. You see, it's when people become empty. It's when people, when they realize how desperate they are for God, that they start to pray. Because Jesus said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. What does the other translation say? How desperately they need God. For they will inherit the kingdom of God. You know what? God can use a person like D.L. Moody. He didn't have any education. He couldn't write properly. But you know what? He was so desperate for God. And God used him. He was one of the big major evangelists of all times. Saved so many souls for Jesus. But he was desperate for God. So guys, God do things different than you and I can do it. I've written here, for earth to change, heaven must touch you. For the earth to change, heaven must touch it. You know what? The Western Cape, it is so green outside. Have you seen it? It's like, you know, you drive around, it's wow, it's so beautiful. But for it to be so beautiful, something must come from heaven. And guys, we need God in our lives. And when God starts to move in our lives, you know, what comes to our lives is a humbleness, is a softness, is a humility. Jesus said, please learn from me because I am meek and humble of heart. So we need God. We need God. Can I have an amen for that one? Amen. We desperately need God. You know what? In Philippians chapter 2, Jesus said, you know what? When he was in heaven, the Bible says, you know, he didn't cling to the things that he had in heaven. But he emptied himself. He came down to earth as a slave. He came obeying God to the very death of the cross. And God says, you know, for the world, the cross seems like foolishness. How can somebody come and lay down his life? Because if you love your life, you will lose it. But if you lay it down for my sake, you will gain it. You will find out what life is really. Amen. Are you still with me? Matthew 28. Okay, that was just introduction. Oh yeah, just go back. Please. God meets you when you are down and out by giving you a fresh revelation of who he is. And that's what happened to the disciples. You know what? They were at the end of everything. And then in Matthew 28, he appeared to them. And he starts speaking to them. Okay, let's just run through Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus met these disciples. Okay, they were at the end of everything. They were down, devastated, depressed, all that words. And now he meets them. And now he reveals his plan unto them. Let me just give you a few pointers. The first thing is that obedience to God will bring you in step with him and his purposes. If you want to run with God, if you want God to use you, you need to obey him. And there's a few words in the Bible that are different, but they all have almost the same meaning, like obedience, like faith, because you cannot trust God, you know, without faith. You know, obedience involves faith. Faith involves obedience. Okay, are you still with me? Okay, so obedience to God will bring you in step with Him and His purposes. You know what? God will always test what we say, He will always test the intentions of our hearts by bringing a test of obedience. It's one thing to say something. It's one thing to pray something. It is one thing to sing the songs that we sing. It's another thing to go out and do them. Are you still with me? Okay. And how does God test what is in our hearts? By bringing us the test of obedience. Jesus said to them, He said in verse 10, do not be afraid. Okay. He appears to them. And suddenly, it's not the flesh and blood Jesus that they know. It's now the Jesus in all His fullness, in all His glory. He's now resurrected. He's got the spiritual body. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the beauty of heaven that appears to them. Suddenly, He's different. It's not the same Jesus anymore. And what they do, you know, if you go and read the Bible, they just fell down and they worship Him. When Jesus had flesh and blood, did they fall down and worship Him? No. But now it's a different Jesus. It's the resurrected Jesus. And they have this experience with Him, like Moses had in Exodus 3 at the bush that was burning. And Jesus told them, He said, go tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Here's a test. Here's a test. He says, go to Galilee. I want them to go there. If you go to the next verse, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. You see, He gave them a test. You know what? Sometimes it's so easy to come to church, you know, and just receive the word. But it's on the outside that the test lies and waits for you. It's either in your marriage. It's either with your children. It's either in the marketplace. It's either with some friends or some family. But it's out there. And the test is always out there. You know what? Coming here, it's safe and secure. And it needs to be safe and secure. But you know what? He tested their hearts. Because some of them were still doubting. So He said, go to the mountain. So if you want to meet Him, it's a good place to go to the mountain. And I don't want to talk to mountains today, but mountains got, you know, it just got this thing in the Bible. All over the place, you know, there's this thing about mountains. When God said to Abraham, Abraham, I want to sacrifice your son, he went to a mountain. When Elijah challenged the Baal prophets, it happened on a mountain. When the people came to Sinai, it happened on a mountain. When Jesus taught His disciples, it happened on a mountain. When He left to heaven, it happened from a mountain. So there's something about mountains. And Jesus said, go and meet me at the mountain. If you are hungry, if you are thirsty, go and meet me in Galilee. Why not here? Because He was testing their obedience. Let's talk about the fishing miracle. Luke chapter 5. Okay, you all know about fishing stories. Was it fishermen? Any fishermen here? Okay, no fishermen here. No angry wives in this church. No difficult wives. But you know about fishing stories, okay? But here's a fishing miracle, and this is a true miracle. Verse 1 said, so it was, as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the word of God. Say with me, the word of God. The people were hungry for the word of God. They were hungry to hear what was God's now word. Because Jesus carried with Him the now word of God. He was the word of God. So people were hungry to hear what is God speaking. What is God doing? Okay, they were hungry for the word of God. And then verse 3 said, then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. So they came to church. It was a little bit different than this church, but you know what? They were at the beach. Jesus in the boat, and Jesus was speaking to them. Okay? And what is the central theme of the New Testament? It's the kingdom of God. Okay? The kingdom, for our sakes this morning, don't go and quote me outside, is doing things God's way. It's one of the aspects of it. Okay? Actually, the kingdom is the rule and reign of God. So God wants rulership in your life. Okay? When Jesus, when he taught us to pray, you know what? It's all about His name. It's all about His kingdom. It's all about His will. It's all about His word. Okay? It's all about forgiveness. It's all about the fear of God. Are you still with me? Your name be hallowed. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Give us our daily bread. He's not talking about Albanese bread. He's talking about the bread from heaven. Okay, give us our daily bread. Forgive. Okay, and lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. It's all about the fear of God. That's the things to Jesus which was important. If you and I compare our prayer life to it, how does it look, guys? What we pray and what Jesus taught us how to pray. Okay, I want you to invite me back, so I just step down, okay? Okay, are you still with me? So the kingdom is something different. So here's these guys that are out on this fishing trip. He taught them. He taught the multitudes. Verse 4, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, this was a catch. Okay? This was a catch. Because Jesus was speaking something. We don't know what he was speaking. But if you look at this scripture, you will find out. Verse 5, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and we caught nothing. Circumstances. He said, okay, God, we were there. We fishermen. Let me give you the report as a fisherman for many years. There is no fish in this ocean. It's empty. We were there all night long. Okay? And what did that Jesus, what did he ask? He said, nevertheless, at your word, I will lay down the net. What were you thinking was Jesus speaking about? Kom, help my subiki. Say, obedience. Trusting His word. Say, faith. Okay? Doing what He tells you to do. Okay? So Jesus was speaking to them. Simon was here in the boat. And you know what? Jesus was seeing his reaction. Because, you know what? I think something jumped up in his heart. He said, God, I want to obey you. I want to see this thing work. Ever been there? Hello? And Jesus said, okay, I'm going to test this guy. I'm going to test him. So Jesus said, he said, go, launch out into the deep. Lay down your nets for a catch. He said, Master, we've been there. We've been there. There's no fish in that ocean. He said, but nevertheless, at your word, I will lay down the net. You know what? He submit himself to the rule and the reign of Jesus. He emptied himself of his own thoughts. He emptied himself of what he was thinking about the situation. He says, God, I will do it your way. You still with me? The rule and reign of God. And then you guys know what happened. You can run on that scriptures. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. The net was breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boats. They said, please come and help us. They came and filled both the boats. And almost both the boats went under. You know what? Yeah. I think Jesus was, you know, he wanted to teach Simon a lesson in obedience. And he used the arena to which he was he was known in. Nee? The area waar hy bekend was. Okay? Because God will always start in your family, will always start in your working place. Okay? Simon Peter, when he saw this, he fell down on his knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Like, you know, God, you don't know all the sin in my life. You don't know how imperfect I am. You know what, God? But God uses imperfect people. And Jesus said to him, "Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And I think Jesus, you know, he was smiling there all the way. Because this guy, you know what, he saw the hunger and thirst in his heart. When he spoke, he could see something is happening to this man. He gave him the test. He said, "Yes, I will go for it." You know what? They caught the fish like plenty. And Jesus was thinking, because he knows the end from the beginning, he was thinking of the day of Pentecost when the same Peter got up and preached. 3,000 people came to repentance. That's the preparation. God was preparing him. Okay. God needs our obedience. Okay, this was the fishing miracle. Number two, you know what? When you want God to use you, number two, he gives them a new and a fresh revelation of who he is. Matthew 28, verse 17, when they saw him. Oh, guys, this is so important. Because we change when we see him. Can I say it again? We change when we see him. Sometimes we try, you know, we try all the disciplines. Sometimes, you know, people go and they study the revivals. And then they come back and they say, "You know what happened in the revivals? And I'm 100% for revival. Please hear me out." But they go and study the revivals. And then they say, "Oh, the people prayed, you know. If we want revival, we must start to pray." And I remember when I was young in the ministry, I was, you know, one of the pastors of the church that I was. He said, "We're going to pray every morning, 5 o'clock, till Jesus comes back." And you know what? I had no say because I was a young pastor. I need to be there 5 o'clock in the morning. But you know what? Sometimes we see the external things. And the external things doesn't give the miracle, doesn't give the revival. You know what? What we need to study is the heart of the people that were in the revival. Study the life of Andrew Murray. Like Theo mentioned last week, you know. Study the life of a Duncan Campbell. What happened to that man? You know what? All of them had a revelation of who he is. Because he will change your life. You can discipline yourself, man. You can do things. But if God doesn't change you, nothing will change. If you see him for who he is, your life will change. You will repent just like that. Are you still with me? Because repentance is a lifestyle. When Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," it was like in the present continuous tense. Keep on changing, keep on changing, keep on changing. You want to see the kingdom in your life? Repent. Keep on changing, keep on changing, keep on changing. Okay, they saw him. In Joshua 5, we've got this very, very interesting part. Joshua, he was bringing the people into the promised land. And when they came into the promised land, God said, "Okay, now it's time to circumcise all the men." Okay, ons uit met die messe. Amper sê ek af met die broeke. Maar in elk geval. So now you must know this is God's army. So if Joshua obeys God, he's going to effectively knock out the army of God. Are you still with me? Okay, julle kan na die tyd bykom gesels oor hoekom ek so sê. Okay, but he's going to knock out the army. But God, you know what, circumcision to him is very important. So Joshua obeys, he circumcised the people, you know what, because circumcision to God is very important. It's a sign of the covenant. When God called Moses, you can go and read it in your Bible, and Moses said, "God, I will go," after he used every excuse in his book. And while he was going on his way to Egypt, the Bible says God met him and God wanted to kill him. Go and read your Bible. Why? Because his sons, or his son, wasn't circumcised. And then his wife, Zipporah, she took the knife, she circumcises the son, she throws it down before him and says, you are a bridegroom of blood. Because God's plan is a blood plan. Okay, you still with me? God's plan is a blood plan. So after Joshua did this, he went to Jericho. He's just going to spy out the land. And when he got there, behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he's meeting God. He's meeting Jesus in the Old Testament. And what does this person say to him? Jesus. So he said, no, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Commanders take charge. He says, I'm not here to choose sides. I'm here to take charge. Are you still with me? Guys that were in the army, they knows it best. As your corporal so say, if your general says so, then you do it. And God appears to him. He says, I'm the commander of the Lord's army. I'm here to take charge. Joshua fell on his face to the earth. He worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? You know, Joshua needed this revelation of God because the plan was so simple. The plan was so out of this world to conquer Jericho. If he didn't have this revelation of who God is, he would never went with the plan. Why do I need to give 10% of my income to you, God? I need it. It's because you don't have a revelation of who he is. If you have a revelation of who he is, you will give 20, 30, 40% because you know he's my source. Are you still with me? So don't try to argue with people who don't have a revelation of who he is. Because if you have this experience with him, it will change your whole life. And the problem with us as church today is we have so little experiences with him and who he is. We try to do it from here. And guys, this thing that we call the gospel, this thing about knowing him, it doesn't come from here. It comes from the inside. It comes from the spirit man. And then verse 15 says, the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy, and he did so. And your feet determines in which direction you go. Say, Joshua, take out your sandals. You're going to do it my way. We're going to do it my way. And then the next chapter, the very next chapter, chapter 6, God reveals the plan. And I'm going to say it again. If Joshua did not have this revelation of who he is, he would never went with the plan. Go past Jericho, walk around it once for 6 days. On the seventh day, we're going to do it how many times? 7 times. And then we're going to shout. We're going to blow the shofars. We're going to, you know, scream Freistaat, Wepie, I don't know what else. And what will happen? The walls will come down. That's the God that we serve. He's doing it his way. And you and I need to go with him. Go with him. Number three says, they worship what they see. Matthew 28 verse 17. They worshiped him. Guys, there's something in worship. Worship makes the impossible possible. God, in Genesis chapter 22, you can just go and read in your Bibles. I'm just going to be quick. But God said to Abraham, go and you know, sacrifice your son, your only one, the miracle child. I want you to sacrifice him. I want you to sacrifice him as a burnt offering. How cruel can God be? And the Bible says, you know, he wake up early in the morning. He went. God said, I will show you the place where you need to do it. So for 3 days they went. Then he saw the place. God showed him the place. He said to his servants, okay, you stay here, okay, with the donkey and me and the son. We are going to worship. It's the first time that word is used in the Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 22. It's like giving everything that is precious to you. And then, you know what? Abraham and Isaac, they went up and Isaac said, okay, Dad, everything is here. We just need a lamb. And Abraham said, because now he's speaking in faith, he says, God will provide. And they went up the mountain and he did everything. And when he was ready to cut, you know, his vein, God said, don't do it, for now I know that you fear me. And when he looked up, there was a ram. And then he sacrificed the ram. And then he said, okay, just run on. You can go on. Yeah, that one. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. And he said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. On that very place that he was supposed to sacrifice his son, God provided the lamb on Golgotha that Jesus died for you and me. God will provide. Worship. Worship. Number four, we need to get out of this place. Somebody said something about food. Coffee. Number four, he gave them their marching orders. He gave them their marching orders. And you know what? We read Matthew, and when we come to Matthew 28, I think we need a new perspective on Matthew 28. Because as I was preparing, I saw it was more like what God spoke to Moses, you know, when he was at the burning bush. They had this experience with God. You know, when God spoke to Moses, Moses said, what's your name? What will I tell them is your name? And God said to him, my name is, I am that I am. God was saying to Moses, I will be to you everything on this journey that you will need. And with that revelation, he could go on the journey. So now, Jesus, when he is appearing to them, what does he say? To me, all authority is given in heaven and in earth. All authority. To who does all authority belong? To him. Who's the commander of the Lord's army? He is. And you know what? You and I need to submit ourselves to his authority. Because what he said, what follows in the line that all authority was given to him. It's not for you and me to do it our way. It's for me and you to do it in his way. Are you still with me? All authority was given to him in heaven and earth. And then he says, you can just run those slides. Go in all my authority. Disciple every nation in my all authority. Baptize them in my all authority. Teach them in all my authority. And then he says, I am with you always in my all authority. Even to the end of age, I have all authority. He's got all authority. He knows the end from the beginning. When you read the last book, it all comes together. Guys, he is in control. And it's for you and me to give over the control. It's for you and me. Say, God, here I am. It's for you and me to empty ourselves so that He can fill us with the power of God, so that He can fill us with His Holy Spirit. Let's just pray together. Let's just stand. Guys, just where we stand, let's just engage with God. I know God is speaking to us. I know God spoke to so many hearts this morning. It is His church. He said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. So let's just engage with Him. Let's just talk to Him. Oh, yes, thank you, Father. Yes, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Father God, we just thank you that you're raising up an army this morning. Thank you that you're not only raising up an army this morning, you've been raising up an army through all of the ages. And we thank you, God, that we can be part of what you're doing. And God, thank you that your plan, it so differs from what we think it is supposed to be. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for just touching our lives. Thank you, God, for releasing this morning a hunger and a thirst for you. We just honor you, God. We just praise you. Just where you are this morning, I just sense in my spirit, we just need to respond to what God is doing. And there's people here that says, God, I need to be filled with your spirit. I need to be, to empty myself so that there can be more of your spirit in my life. And I just want to pray with you. Just if you can just raise your hand to God. Just show God, here I am. And I got to pray for you. I see those hands. There's still hands. I believe there's quite a lot of hands. People that says, God, I want to do it your way. I want to empty myself. I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Just keep your hand there and I'm going to pray for you. Father God, I just pray for everyone who put up their hands this morning that says, God, I need to empty myself. I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with your power. I want to be filled with your strength. And I just pray for everyone, God. Pray for them, God, to make that decision, to make that step of saying, God, not my way, but your way. And where you stand, just say it to Him. Just say it to Him, God. Not my way, God, but your way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You can put it on your hands. And then I want to pray for people this morning. And in your heart, you're saying this morning, while the word was coming, you were saying in your own heart, God, I need a fresh revelation of who you are. Just put out your hand to Him. Just tell Him who you are. Just show Him. He knows who you are. But just put out your hands. Say, God, I need a fresh revelation of who you are. Just put up your hands. I'm going to pray for you. Oh, Father God, you see your children, God. God, we are in so desperate need to meet you on a new level, to meet you in a new way, God. And I pray, God, that you would just meet your waiting people, God. That you will reveal yourself in a way that, God, that is new and fresh. God, in a way that is what they need for this very hour. And I just thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you that you just pour out a new hunger. Thank you that you just pour out a new thirst in their lives for you. And I just thank you, God. I just thank you, God. I just thank you, God. And then the last group that I want to pray for is those that say, God, just put a new hunger and a thirst in my life for you. Just put up your hands to Him. Just stretch out your hands for Him. Say, God, I need it. I need. Please, God, help me. Give me a new hunger. Give me a new thirst for you. God, you see. You see your people. You see their hearts, God. And Father God, sometimes we must confess that there is no thirst in our hearts for you. There is no hunger in our hearts for you. But God, you can put that hunger there. You can put that thirst there. And God, I pray just for everyone who's just reaching out to you, God. Father God, I just pray for a new hunger in the name of Jesus. A new thirst, God. Thank you that you touch them. Thank you that you start working in their lives. I just sense someone here that's, it's like, you know, it's been like, it's in your relationship with God, it's been so like dead for, you know, it's like there's nothing for the past few months. And there's just a desperation in your heart. And I just see God says, I see your heart. I see your heart, because you're saying to God, God, you don't see my heart. You don't see me, God. You don't see the situation where I'm in. And God is just saying to you, I see you. I see you. You're in my hand. And I'm coming through for you. Thank you, God. Thank you that you touch your waiting people. Thank you that your spirit come to people who are willing to wait for you, God. That thank you that your spirit come to people who are desperate for you. We just worship you, God. We just worship you. We just worship you, God. Father God, thank you that we can bring you all the glory. Thank you that we can bring you all the praise this morning. Thank you, God, that we know that we worship a living God. Thank you that you are alive. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your power. Thank you for the power of your spirit. Thank you, God, that you change people's lives. Thank you, God, that you do what we cannot do. That by your power and your strength, Father God, you work through frail human beings so that you may be glorified. And we bring all the glory to you, God. We bring all the praise to you. And Lord God, we love you. Oh, we love you. We love you, God. You are so important to us. We confess our love for you. Oh, God, just fill us with your love. Fill us with your love. For we pray it in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children say, Amen.